done.
Order, order.
What exactly are we using the House's time to do?
That question again, this time from Labor's Wigram MP, Megan Woods, just before the House adjourned on Thursday evening, interrupting its debate on the third and final reading of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement Amendment Bill, a debate that New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters tried to block.
I move that the order of the day for the third reading of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement Amendment Bill be discharged.
The question is that the motion be agreed to. Those of that opinion will say aye.
And they included National, ACT, United Future and the Māori Party, giving the government 63 votes against the opposition's 57, although that was to change with this request from the Māori Party's co-leader, Marama Fox.
Mr Speaker, we'd like to correct our vote. It's a requirement of our agreement that in cases of procedural motions, we must give notice to the government that we would vote against them. We've now done that, and so we would like to be able to correct our vote and support the motion to discharge the TPP.
While moving two votes across to the noes column, that didn't alter the decision to proceed with the debate, which included this contribution from the Greens' Gareth Hughes.
Sometimes words just can't convey the situation. All you can do, Mr Speaker, is face palm.
For older listeners, to face palm is when the palm of one's hand is brought to one's face as an expression of dismay. Now back to Gareth Hughes and the third reading of the TPPA bill.
Surely this is the definition of futility. The day after Trump's elected, Nationals passing the TPPA bill. You could not write this stuff, Mr Speaker. It encapsulates what a failure and a farce this entire seven-year process has been.
The Greens' Gareth Hughes, and strictly for reasons of balance, we cross the chamber to Nationals' David Bennett.
The Green Party. When we look at the Green Party, don't want any trade agreements. No trade agreements in the Green Party. At least they are being honest about that.
Unlike some other parties across the chamber.
There is help coming for New Zealand First, and that is Gareth Morgan. He is the real Donald Trump of New Zealand, not Winston Peters. Mr Gareth Morgan will take your votes away. Mr Gareth Morgan is a true Donald Trump representative, not the pretender that is the New Zealand First leader that wishes he was Donald Trump but has never made any money in business, that has been 40 years as part of that political elite and will never be able to represent ordinary people because he represents the epitome of what has been talked about.
National's Hamilton East MP David Bennett. And now for younger listeners, an epiphany is a sudden insight into the real meaning of something. And Winston Peters had already had one of those in the debate following this motion from the most senior government minister in the debating chamber when the House resumed at 2 p.m. on Thursday.
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Mr Speaker, I move that the House convey its congratulations to President-elect Donald Trump on his election as the next President of the United States, and to Vice President-elect Mike Pence on his election, and doing so express our desire to work with the incoming Trump administration to continue building on New Zealand's already strong relationship with the United States.
Labour's Deputy Leader Annette King joined Mr Joyce in congratulating Donald Trump before moving right along.
I also want to acknowledge Hillary Clinton, who achieved much in her public life and has been a good friend to New Zealand.
Mrs King quoted Hillary Clinton's statements made earlier that morning.
They must accept the result and look to the future. She said they owe the new president an open mind and a chance to lead. And, Mr Speaker, we support those sentiments.
Unlike Greens co-leader Matiria Ture.
No, I will not support this motion to congratulate Trump, and neither will the Green Party. We vow to fight the climate change denial, the misogyny, the racism represented by Trump. We will not let hate triumph. Thank you, Mr Speaker.
Order,
Mr Speaker.
The Right Honourable Winston Peters.
The New Zealand First Leader said Mr Trump's victory had come as no surprise to him.
I predicted what so many experts did not. That was not after the event, beforehand, who would win, who would become the 45th President of the United States. and that cacophony of embarrassment is not going to deter us today.
While the result may have confirmed Mr Peters' prophetic powers, it must have been a surprise for the other Greens co-leader, James Shaw.
I don't think that Americans will choose Trump today.
James Shaw was speaking in Wednesday's general debate when Twitter was reporting the race in Texas as too close to call.
And I believe that is because Texans have got quite a good sense of when someone is talking a lot of hot air. One of my favourite sayings comes from Texas, Mr Speaker. It refers to someone who is all hat and no cattle.
James Shaw in Wednesday's general debate, a few hours before the election result was declared, while Mr Peters, speaking 24 hours later, had the benefit of both foresight and hindsight to muster his cattle into this epiphany, with its insight into Trump supporters.
People who work hard, pay their taxes, and just want a fair go. We have three words for these people, as in America, as in the UK, but now New Zealand. One party uniquely has these three words. We hear you.
Mr Speaker.
Marama Fox.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. I had three words in mind and they weren't those ones. I think they were pot, kettle and black.
Marama Fox also had an epiphany.
I'm a pragmatist at heart. I like to see the silver lining around the clouds. And as I look to America, I think, well, you know what? The bricklayers are going to be happy and the concrete merchants will be happy because they'll be building a wall very soon to keep Americans in.
The only other speaker, the ACT MP David Seymour, was also the most enthusiastic about a Trump presidency, although he did have one reservation.
And that is, I know that many women in the US and many women in New Zealand are deeply disturbed by the comments made by a man who has now been elected the leader of the free world and one of the most powerful men on the planet. And I certainly hope that on behalf of that sentiment, on behalf of those people that he has disturbed, he will back away from those comments and apologise. But with that minor quibble, I join with other leaders in celebration of democracy and in congratulation of the 45th president-elect of the United States, Donald Trump.
Mr Seymour's doubts about Donald Trump's attitudes to women were unlikely to convince one woman just a few yards away across the chamber.
Do not come near me, Mr Seymour, unless you're crossing the floor for a vote. Then come on over. Come on over and see the error of your ways, Mr Seymour. Education. Vote on the side that stands up for the education and the public system of New Zealand.
Tracy Martin, education spokeswoman for New Zealand First, was speaking in Wednesday night's first reading debate on a members' bill to abolish charter schools in the name of Labour's Chris Hipkins. The debate had been carried over from the previous members' day, when Mr Seymour had spoken against it. He was joined by National United Futures Peter Dunn and the Māori Party in defeating the bill's supporters by 63 votes to 57. Also on Wednesday, the Papawai and Kai Kor Kirikiri Trusts Amendment Bill, a private bill in the name of the National Member for Wairarapa, Alistair Scott, passed its final reading unopposed. While later in the night, a bill from Labour MP Ruth Dyson, seeking to grant rates rebates to residents of retirement villages, passed its first reading unopposed and was sent to the Local Government and Environment Committee for public submissions. And that committee also got back the Resource Management Legislation Bill after yet another twist in its tortuous passage through this Parliament. Introduced just under a year ago, it was sent to the committee last December. After two extensions to its deadline for reporting the bill back, a third was blocked by opposition committee members. Failure to report the bill back on time last Monday meant it went back on the order paper for a second reading without benefit of any amendments by the committee, which had received some 800 submissions on it. Now, after a lengthy wrangle on Thursday over how to deal with this unprecedented move, for which there are no established standing orders, the Speaker ruled that there would be no debate before the House decided to send the bill back to the committee, with National supported by United Future and the Māori Party. Now, with more from the committee rooms, here's Rhys Lyon.
On Thursday, the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee continued its hearing of submissions on the New Zealand Intelligence and Security Bill, which rewrites laws governing the country's spy agencies, and heard from the Clerk of the House of Representatives, David Wilson, who sought to draw the committee's attention to several parts of the bill affecting Parliament. These included provisions in the bill that limit the Speaker's influence over intelligence warrants against MPs.
And I really just wanted to highlight the fact that there's a 2010 Memorandum of Understanding between the Speaker, the SIS and the Minister responsible, which seeks to balance the House's privileges and its constitutional position with the SIS's ability to undertake its lawful duties. The Privileges Committee had a look at that MOU in 2014, and they highlighted an issue in it. So the MOU requires that the Speaker's briefed by the SIS on intelligence warrants that authorise the use of intrusive powers against members. But the Speaker doesn't have the power to decide whether or not a seizure or an interception should proceed. The Privileges Committee thought the Speaker should have that power and flagged that as an issue to be covered in the review of intelligence and security legislation. It wasn't dealt with in that review, so I just raise it with you now as something that your parliamentary colleagues considered a couple of years ago, thought ought to be provided for, and isn't to date.
Among a range of other issues in the bill that the Clerk of the House raised with the committee was ambiguity over the Speaker's ability to complain about actions a spy agency might take towards individual MPs.
The proposed clause 134 said the Speaker can complain that the House has or may have been adversely affected by an intelligence and security agency. And I just question whether that restriction on what the Speaker can complain about is necessary. In my view, the Speaker is only likely to complain in the most serious of cases. And I think it's not desirable to reduce the scope of what those cases might be. There could be cases where the Speaker, elected by the House to speak on its behalf, thinks that there might be an undesirable effect on an individual MP rather than on the House, or on the duties MP might perform in their constituency or in some other setting that is not about the House's proceedings. And I just think it's not really necessary to limit the Speaker in that way when it's not a power that's been used a lot or I think would be likely to be overused if that restriction was removed.
The Clerk of the House, David Wilson, also recommended changes to provisions governing the Intelligence and Security Committee, which is not a parliamentary committee but carries out similar functions to select committees. The New Zealand Intelligence and Security Bill is due to be reported back from the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee by February the 18th. Also this week, the Health Committee continued its inquiry into public attitudes towards euthanasia, splitting into three subcommittees on Monday in order to make a dent on the more than 1,600 oral submissions it's due to hear on Marion Street's petition on the issue. Meanwhile, also on Monday, the Primary Production Committee released its report on a petition signed by almost 63,000 people calling for a ban on rodeos in New Zealand. In the report, the majority of the committee said that new guidelines around rodeos were currently under consideration, with the committee encouraging the Rodeo Association to work towards better compliance with the Animal Welfare Code through self-monitoring at rodeos. The Green Party, meanwhile, provided a minority view, stating it's concerned that electric prods, rope burning, flank straps and calf roping are all permitted under the current Code of Welfare, leading to its recommendation that such devices and events should be prohibited. And finally, on Thursday, Reserve Bank Governor Graham Wheeler appeared before the Finance and Expenditure Committee to deliver it with an update on his announcement earlier that morning that the Reserve Bank had dropped the official cash rate, which sets the country's interest rates, by a quarter of a percentage point to 1.75%. In total, there were 18 committee meetings held during the week.
That report from Rhys Lyon. Also this week, the House approved a recommendation from the Officers of Parliament Committee to appoint former Transport Secretary Martin Matthews as the new Auditor General. And we end, as usual, with a look at the week ahead with the Deputy Leader of the House.
The Honourable Simon Bridges.
Mr Speaker, when the House resumes on Tuesday the 15th of November, the Government will look to complete the first reading of the Maritime Transport Amendment Bill, the third reading of the Patents Trans-Tasman Patent Attorneys and Other Matters Amendment Bill and to progress a number of other bills on the order paper.
The Deputy Leader of the House, Simon Bridges. I'm Tom Frewin, and this programme was made with funding from Parliament.